720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth. We're here with you from now till 12:30. It is the WGN Radio Honors. It's sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. And it's a special show today. We've got a lot going on. We're here with Mark Doyle. Regular listeners, you know Mark. You know him. He's on all the time talking about Rags of Honor and the wonderful work that they're doing there. We're also joined by Brandon Marty, who is the owner of Veteran Roasters. We have got a lot to do today, gentlemen.
We do a lot to talk
about. I'm going to turn your microphone on and everything.
We are live.
There it is. Now we are.
We do have a lot to talk about. It's a solemn day that often gets confused with Veterans Day.
Exactly.
And often gets confused with a great day to buy a mattress on sale. But in fact, it's a day of reflection. And of course, as you know, we refer to this as the Rags of Honor Network because Todd Manley is so generous with his time. And so when Brandon and my wife and I pitched this idea, didn't surprise me that he said, let's just take a whole morning to talk about not just what it means, what it is, how it started, but people in this space making a difference. And so,
yeah, and a lot of what we've planned to talk about today is not, we are going to hear from some Gold Star families, but also really take a look at other ways that veterans have sacrificed and resources available and people doing really interesting things in this space. We think about this in terms of, you know, I think outside looking in, we think about, well, there's a healthcare system for veterans. There's what is there? You know, I think sometimes there's a lot of confusion and a lot of questions. So we're going to hopefully answer some questions today.
There certainly are a lot of questions. And in defense of the VA, they see about 23 million patients a year. You know, 17 or 18 years and two wars has stressed the system. And so Brandon can speak to this as an 11-year Navy pilot. The problems that people have just navigating regular days, everyday medical procedures at the VA has become it's become a real problem over the years, but I think they're doing what they can to try and change it.
No, I think you're definitely right, Mark. And I heard an interview this morning with the VA secretary, the same thing. The amount of reach out they're doing, the amount of proactive like education and activism, it is really helping, and I think it's only going to continue. What I'm really excited about today and kind of the program we have lined up is just, I think, bridging this gap between those that served, the families of those that served and then fallen, and the rest of the community. So I hope there's a lot of great education, a lot of things people learn and then can go out and do within their community here in Chicago.
Yeah, for sure. And coming up here in just a bit, we're going to hear from, earlier you had a conversation with Tammy Duckworth, and we're going to hear from that audio here in just 1 second. We're getting that teed up right now. Really about this day and that distinction you were just talking about of the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Because again, I think, you know, well, Mark, we've had this conversation on the air before. I think it was last year or year before we were having this very thing this time of year about that misconception about like, it's military something, you know, and it's good intention, certainly. And I think people want to do the right thing and be ready. But, you know, it's important to really break it down and say, you know, this is about all who have worn the uniform. That's Veterans Day. That's in November. But today is really
those who gave the last full measure of devotion, to quote our great president, Abraham Lincoln. Yes,
That's right. All right. So let's take a listen to that conversation you had a little bit earlier with Tammy Duckworth about this day.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, thank you so much for joining us today on this Memorial Day. Thank you to everybody at WGN. And I want to introduce our listeners who may not know you as Senator Tammy Duckworth, a veteran, an Army pilot veteran who has done so much in her own personal career, her Army career, and as a civil servant, not only in D.C., but across Illinois. And thank you for taking time on this day to tell our listeners about what Memorial Day means to you and what it should mean to all of us, but also to tell about the amazing work that you continue to do in D.C. on behalf of our veterans so they understand what's happening at the federal level. So thank you so much, and it's all yours.
Well, it's good to be on, I think I'd love to start off first by sort of explaining the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Because to the average person who's never served in the military, it may seem like the same day. You get a 3-day weekend and people go and have barbecues and there's sales, you know, all of the car lots have sales, and all the supermarkets have sales, and big box stores all have sales, and you know, it's a good time to go buy furniture. But what's the difference? Well, Veterans Day in November is a day to celebrate all of our nation's veterans, those who have worn the uniform, and to celebrate. It's a day of celebration and to thank them for their service. Memorial Day is a day to honor our fallen dead, are those who are no longer with us, those who fell in the line of duty, and those who perhaps never made it home from war. And so for me, Memorial Day always has an element of solemnness to it. In a way that Veterans Day doesn't. For me, Memorial Day, I carry with me, like so many who have served, especially those who have served in combat, names of folks that we know, buddies that we know that never made it home. Two of those names for me are Sergeant First Class Bill Cheney from Schaumburg, and then First Lieutenant Brian Salavinas, who was flying with the Peoria-based F Company 1-106 Aviation when he was shot down and killed in 2003. And so those are the names that I keep near to my heart, and I think of those two men in particular every Memorial Day.
Wow. Well, I don't need to tell you the statistics. As you know, there's still 20 a day who take their own lives. But it's so important, and I'm so glad you underscored and led with that, the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, because I do believe that people want to do the right thing and honor veterans, but they don't fully understand what Memorial Day is meant to be. And while it is a good day to go and buy a cheap mattress, it should be a day of reflection.
Yes, exactly.
And, I just invite our listeners, if you don't know about the amazing career of this woman, just go to Wikipedia, go Google Tammy Duckworth, and you will see, 35 years of service to her country and her community. And unfortunately, I think the environment we're in nowadays, it's hard to get through all the chatter to hear about the good works that are going on behalf of veterans, state level, but at the federal level as well, and in the Senate. And I know the Defense Authorization Bill just got passed, and I know that you were active on that. And I know we're going to have a lot of veterans and a lot of veterans' families listening today. It would be great if you wanted to sort of update all the amendments and everything that you got into the bill to try and help veterans who are struggling.
Yes, well, thank you. The National Defense Authorization Act is a fancy title for basically the defense budget that gets passed. And so we just passed the 2020 defense budget. And I was able to insert into that defense budget quite a few pieces of legislation to help our military families and servicemen and women. Everything from health-related issues. I work a lot with veterans, and so I want to make sure that we take care of our troops from the time that they're still serving all the way until when they leave and become veterans. So I introduced legislation that would help protect service members from lead poisoning and make sure that the Department of Defense is actually complying with federal standards in military housing. And isn't that scary to think that the housing that our military men and women live in and that their families live in may not actually meet the standards in the civilian community for lead? So let's make sure that our servicemen and women meet those same standards as the military, and that no military child should be growing up in military housing that has lead contamination. I also included legislation to make sure that we protect our firefighters in the military and make sure that we are testing them for these chemicals that showing up in their blood that they use to fight fires with the chemical foams, that are used to put out fires, and make sure that we monitor their health every single year when they have their annual physical, that we check for those chemicals and make sure that we know how much they're being exposed to. I also was able to secure some money to bring back to Illinois, $100 million in grant money for Rock Island Army Arsenal, the community infrastructure program to bring back investments for the community around Rock Island so that we have better infrastructure there. And we were able to also get a $10 million for a new joint operations center at Scott Air Force Base so that they can continue to do that good work there. And Scott Air Force Base is the home of Transportation Command, by the way. So we were able to do some of that and continuing to making sure that we support those who are still serving actively. I'm requiring DOD to issue a new report on infertility in the military, female veterans, and currently serving female service members seem to be suffering very high rates of infertility, and we need to make sure we find out why and that we provide them so that they can have the families that they want to have. And that, you know, serving in the military shouldn't result in you losing your fertility and not being able to have the family that you want. And so there were quite a few things. Those are just a handful of things that we were able to do. And we're going to, and they were bipartisan. And the reason they got in is because both Democrats and Republicans voted for them.
I guess what a great way to end, because I know you're busy. The takeaway from this is there are almost all issues in life should be nonpartisan. But if there was ever an issue, it is this one. And you lived it in the military. You live it as an elected official. This is proof by what you were able to get done in the defense authorization bill. And so, again, for all the listeners to understand that regardless of some of the chatter you hear out there, every day, Senator Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin and our Republican comrades out there as well are still fighting the good fight. And so on this day, as we memorialize and remember those who gave the last full measure of devotion, make sure you take a minute to thank Tammy Duckworth, who's given a lifetime to making sure that people aren't left behind who wore the uniform. So thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for spending some time with us, and I can't wait to see you again soon.
Thank you. It's great to be on, and always, God bless America.
That was a conversation that you had a little bit earlier, Mark, with Tammy Duckworth, and tell me about that. Tell me about, you know, the conversation leading up to the conversation. I'm always interested in the conversation behind the conversation or the story behind the story.
Well, it's interesting, and Brandon can speak to this as well. Although it is a day that we memorialize and mm-hmm. we remember those who didn't make it back, she and some others believe that in some ways you might want to turn it around and say, yes, it's a very solemn day, but let's have a barbecue on behalf and in memory of those who did go before us, and let's celebrate their lives. And so there are mixed emotions on this. Some people.
No, I agree. I mean, as a veteran and a friend that has you know, lost people, it's they want you to continue to live your life. So enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, do good work in the community. And I think Tammy's doing that, and then some.
So much of what we're talking about today here on the WGN Radio Honors Show. It's sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. We're going to take a little break. Be right back. And also the 9 o'clock news a little bit earlier today, sponsored by LindholmRoofing.com. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth, and today is the Memorial Day special. We're doing this. We have with us Mark Doyle's in studio from Rags of Honor and Brandon Marty from Veteran Roasters, and we're here till 12:30. We got lots to talk about, lots of things to do, many topics to discuss here today. As we have been talking about Memorial Day, we were just talking with Tammy Duckworth, a conversation that you had with her earlier, Mark, about the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And I think that's such an important one to underscore and keep underscoring, because we think about it as just one of the barbecue holidays that, you know, attached to summer. But in fact, it's a specific one. And I really like the point that you made a moment ago, Mark, about it's serious and it has its somber tones, but there are things to be celebrated about it that I think are important to underscore and think about and consider.
And people to celebrate. Those who joined the military, didn't come back, and if you hear some veterans talk about it, celebrate their lives, right? Take a moment to reflect. You can do both, right? You can take a moment to reflect.
We're multidimensional human beings.
We
can do lots of things at the same time.
I can't do lots of things at the same time, but others can. But in truth, you really can. You can have a day where you celebrate with your family and you celebrate those who went before, You can do them both with honor and dignity.
Yeah, for sure. We're joined now by Paul Grasmer from Pritzker Military Museum and Library. Paul, thanks for being with us today and joining us on today's special.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity.
So, you know, I think as we've been talking about that difference that's often overlooked between Veterans Day and Memorial Day, you know, the Pritzker Museum does so much work in this area and really digs into not just the specificity of holidays, but history of them and really interesting historical details. And I wonder if you could share some of that with us today about this day.
Yes. The Pritzker Military Museum and Library has been in existence since 2003, and we have a very simple mission: to collect, preserve, and share the stories of the citizen soldier in the preservation of democracy. And so we're an education center. We're a research facility. We have books that we loan, interlibrary loan, on American and world military history, and we have events where authors come in to discuss current, past, and the future of the military, and we have great exhibits there where the public, you know, as you know, less than 1% of the population ever puts on the uniform to serve in the military. We have exhibits to help educate the public on our military history.
That's great, Paul. This is Brandon, and thanks so much for joining us. Could you share a little bit more about your personal history? I know you're an Army veteran, and then maybe how it led you into the next phase of your life, being at Pritzker for almost 10 years now and more of a historian, educational.
Hi, Brandon. I was an Army engineer officer. Wearing the uniform was something I always wanted to do from third grade. I have a family history of being in the military, and so I wanted the opportunity to serve. Being an engineer officer was great. You get to build things, and you get to blow things up. But you get to teach. You get to teach your personnel. You get to help when you build structures. And then after I left the military, I was a Gulf War vet and then recalled after 9/11. I then taught high school, and it was great to teach before kids had their heads buried in a smartphone. But I'm still teaching at the museum and library, helping families connect with their personal military history, assisting with their military genealogy. It's always humbling when you research the stories of the men and women that have served and all the amazing things they've done over our history.
You know, Paul, I'm glad you mentioned military genealogy. I think that's such an important topic. I mean, we could do a whole show just on that. That's so interesting. And I think it's a way that so many people connect to their genealogy. That's often like the first leaf, the first clue, as you're doing family histories. Well, I know, you know, Grandpa was in World War One. I'm not sure beyond that. And those military records often begin to open up very moving and human pieces that connect people to their families.
Right. People are spoiled by their smartphones. They think, oh, I can press a key and all these records magically appear. Only about 10-13% of the really good-to-know records are digitally available. So you often have to be an archive rat. But where our role at the PMML exists is not only do we help families start that process, help them, because they often don't know, where do I start looking? What questions do I ask? When I get the documents, what the heck am I looking at? But then we have a great collection, 68,000 books, 38 different languages, that really help provide context to the families, and our staff can help the family understand how their individual fit into a much larger picture.
Indeed. And unfortunately, we're already running out of time. I wish we could keep you on for hours longer. There's so many interesting things there at that museum. But where can people go to find out more and tell us about events coming up with the facility?
PritzkerMilitary.org. On the toolbar is our upcoming events calendar. And we're just transitioning from our World War One exhibit to a D-Day Plus 75 exhibit that will open up on June 6th to the public.
That's going to be so wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being with us today, Paul Grasmer from Pritzker Military Museum and Library. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. All right, lots to do on the program today. Right now, we're going to take a little break, get you to news, all that good stuff, back in just a bit today for this Memorial Day special here on WGN Radio. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth, and this is the Memorial Day special. WGN Radio Honors. It's sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Thanks for being with us today. Of course, we've got some esteemed guest co-hosts in the house, too. Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor. If you listen to the station for more than 10 minutes at a time, you've heard Mark before. He's a regular guest on the station, and we're awful glad for that. And we're also joined by Brandon Marty, who is the owner of Veteran Roasters. We're drinking very delicious coffee right now. I'm sure there's extra caffeine in it. I have not proved that yet, but I have a feeling there's a little bit of extra caffeine in there. So glad that you're with us today. We also have a very special guest in studio with us right now. Jim Frazier is here, Gold Star father and Gold Star family supporter and activist. It is really, I'm so thrilled that you're with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me on this special day.
It is a special day, and you have done a lot of work with Gold Star families and your work as an activist, and talked a great deal about your son, and in particular about that last conversation that you had with him, and some really very moving quotes there. And, you know, I think one thing at one point that you said was about speaking their names and talking with them and remembering them in this day. And so how is it that you most remember your son on this day?
Well, I remember his smile, and I remember his enthusiasm and eagerness and the love of the job that he had in the military. He started out in the Illinois Air National Guard. His unit was a tactical air control unit. And over a period of time, he worked very hard and went to a lot of different training schools in order to qualify to be on the ground with special forces teams. Now, to make it simple, a tactical air controller is the guy in the Air Force who is on the ground, and when they need close air support, he calls it in. When Jake qualified for the Special Forces, his title is a, and I love this, Joint Terminal Attack Controller. I think the word terminal is the operative word there. Mm-hmm. And he was embedded with a 12-man team of Green Berets out of Fort Bragg, 7th Group. So, you know, what do I remember the most? Yeah, I remember that day I said goodbye to him out in the driveway. And being an old Marine, I had to, you know, give him serious advice. You know, keep your weapon clean, cover your buddy's back, keep your head down, and come home safe. And he just looked at me and said, well, Pops, if I don't, I'll see you on the other side. Mm. And I think about that a lot.
And so what does it mean to you, the work that you do with other families? I'm sure that's got to be fairly healing work and meaningful to you.
Well, first of all, my job. I am a contractor for the Department of the Army, and I am the Survivor Outreach Services Coordinator for Northern Illinois. I cover a number of counties. There are three of us here in Illinois, one down in Springfield and then one down in Southern Illinois. And our full-time jobs are the long-term support of families who have lost someone on active duty. So if someone is killed in combat or a training accident, dies of an illness while they're on active duty, sadly, suicide. So we cover the gamut. The casualty assistance officer, which is the uniformed military person who is assigned to the family immediately, as soon as the family is notified, he takes care of the funeral arrangements, all the documents for benefits, etc. And he will, his job will be for usually a few months, and then once he completes his task, then that family is turned over to a Survivor Outreach Services Coordinator. I started doing this 9 years ago, and Jake was killed in 03, so it's 16 years. I have found being a survivor, a dad, has been tremendously beneficial to me. Because when I meet somebody new, I don't wait to tell them my story. I will tell them right up front. I'm a Gold Star dad. I buried a son and stuff. And a lot of times attitudes change. All of a sudden they're like, oh, my God, somebody who's been through this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start asking questions like, how long does it last? And I tell them, forever. You just learn to live with it. So I'm honored and I think extremely privileged to be able to do this work. And then I volunteer for a whole bunch of stuff like Memorial Day with the city of Chicago and things. But
Jim, I know the Gold Star family is a very intimate community. Do you know the numbers in terms of in Illinois, like how many family members or service members, whether it's training, combat, illness, like you mentioned?
That total number, I can't do off the top of my head. It's a large number because, you know, the militaries are large organizations,
right,
and there's accidents all the time.
Right.
Here in Illinois, we've got just under 280 KIAs post 9/11. So the enemy action ones. You know, a family who loses someone on active duty is a Gold Star family.
Right.
You know, people use the term a lot, but they really think that it's you know, very narrow, just combat deaths. You know? The military issues, there are two types of Gold Star pins that we wear. If you look at the one I have on, it's a gold star with purple background. That's a theater death, a combat death. And you can always kind of remember that because it's Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And a death gets a Purple Heart. And if it's an accident or an illness or a suicide, et cetera, the little pin is solid gold with a solid gold star in the middle. But I I sometimes have to straighten folks out. You know, oh, well, you know, that they're Gold Stars because they were killed in combat. And these are, no, that's not the way it is. It is active duty.
Yeah.
We honor, you know, some soldier or airman, for instance, a pilot could go over and fly 20 missions in combat zones, do a phenomenal job, come back here, take a little break, and then do some training flights and crash and die. Well, they shouldn't be included as a Gold Star. Of course they should. And sadly, the same thing with the suicides and accidents, et cetera.
Which is something I want to talk about a lot today. I think that mental health component is so very, very important when we're talking about how we support our veterans, for sure. We're talking right now with Jim Frazier, Gold Star father and Gold Star family supporter and activist. We are having lots of conversations today and many, many more to go. Today, of course, Memorial Day, lots of things to do here on WGN Radio. We're going to take a little break. Be right back in just a bit. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth, and this is the Memorial Day special WGN Radio Honors. Thanks for being with us today. We have a couple of esteemed co-hosts, guests in the studio, Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor and Brandon Marty from Veteran Roasters here with us. We're also joined by Jim Frazier, Gold Star father, supporter, activist, and we were just having a conversation about what that means and what all of that is. And you know, right as we went to break, you said something I thought was really significant. And that is, when we think of Gold Star, we think of it as being a formal organization that you unwittingly join and unfortunately join. But in fact, as you were saying, I think it's worth underscoring that that's not a formal organization. That's just sort of a
term.
Yeah, it's a term. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people think there's a national Gold Star Families organization where they can call an 800 number and say, and join up or whatever. First of all, we have a club that nobody wants to join.
Sure. Yeah.
There are a number of Gold Star associations, and let's start with the most well-known, oldest, and what really started the term Gold Stars was the Gold Star Mothers. America's Gold Star Mothers started in World War I. They were the moms that put the blue star up in the window when their sons went off to World War I, And if they were killed, they sewed a gold star over the top of the blue star. After a period of time, these moms got chartered and became the organization of America's Gold Star Mothers. Real big organization and does a lot. They have headquarters in Washington, D.C. But that doesn't cover everybody. You know, there are Facebook pages of Gold Star siblings, Gold Star parents. We have a Facebook page called Gold Star Families of Illinois. And of course, we also have our Facebook page, Survivor Outreach Services of Illinois. So we're really not real well organized, but you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm not all that nuts about structure and organizations anyway, because organizations like to make rules and have silos to put people in. And we're not nuts about that idea.
Yeah. But I have to imagine the power of however it is organized, even if informally, that power of coming together over such a unique, unique shared experience has got to be a powerful one.
You're right, Amy. When Jake was killed, not long after, I met at some ceremonies or whatever, a few other Gold Star families, and we're chatting and said, why don't we get together for lunch? So we did. And today, groups, we have about quarterly or a couple of times a year, probably 35, 40 people just meet for lunch. Nobody runs it. No, you know, there are no, you know, president and vice president of this. I have found, and I hopefully a lot of the families agree, that when we get together, just us, we share our stories. We can laugh together. We cry together. Unlike talking to other people, to people who have not traveled the journey. We can share where we are on that journey. There's folks that are early on in it, and then there's people like me who, you know, been doing this for a long time. So we can share with each other, and that's very beneficial too. Once again, I go back to how long does this last, or how did you feel on the first Christmas or in Thanksgiving and their birthday and. All of those things. So we can talk to each other about that, unlike any outsiders.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, I think even different than other parents who have lost a child. Under this setting is very
military
different.
Military loss is different. Yeah, you know, people could say, well, you know, death is death. And it is. I got a Gold Star mom that says, yeah, we've got the only holiday. Now you think about it, and it's today. Other deaths don't have that. Why is that? Well, first of all, there's a good side to that, a real good side to that. As a nation, we want to remember the sacrifice that occurs. We want to remember the cost of sending our young men and women into battle. We have to do that as a country. I always reflect back to my son's funeral, and I went to a lot of military funerals because at the time I worked for Pat Quinn, was lieutenant governor, and oh my God, we did a lot of funerals. The pomp and circumstance of a military funeral is unlike a citizen's funeral. It's different. They take control of it. And our family, we just kind of felt like we were along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
But then the tough part is when that pomp and circumstance is all over, all the flags are gone, all those guys in wonderful looking uniforms and all of that, all of a sudden you're sitting on your couch all by yourself going, what happened? And the reality is that loved one is no longer sitting on the couch with you. So it's different. And I got to add, too, normally military deaths are traumatic. Yeah, there's illnesses, but on whole, they are young and they are traumatic, sudden. When you talk about post-traumatic stress, we get that. You know, the families get hit with that. It can be devastating, and it can become debilitating if one is not careful.
Sure. Yeah. And I imagine that's where that network of support is really,
that
really
helps.
So important. Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody can see how others on the journey are doing along, they find hope in that. They go, oh, man, I can end up feeling that way.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing, you know, people say to us things like, well, time to move on, time to move forward. It's been a long time and everything. Well, that there's truth to that. But how our brains can work sometimes is, if you tell me to move on, that means you're telling me to forget him.
Right.
And of course, I can't ever do that. But we can learn how to live. We can be happy, you know. We can enjoy life and never forget. And I think part of what we do today is to and remind everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I think that's such a big part of what we're talking about today is, I think often Memorial Day gets lumped in with Veterans Day, and it's a barbecue holiday, and people kind of forget these details.
That bothers us.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah. Is how does that feel?
This is not Veterans Day, folks. God love you, veterans. And I think about Jake's buddies a lot, and they suffered a loss, you know. But we do that in November. Yeah, today is to honor the day that the guys didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jim, how best can that are still around, whether it's veterans or just ordinary citizens, honor in your eyes? How can we get involved?
Really easy. It's easy. First of all, take today, you know. And do something to honor them. Go to a ceremony, go to an event, whatever. It's a solemn day. Today is a day of loss. But do something to participate in it. And then beyond that, if you meet one of us, okay, acknowledge it. Do not be afraid. Number one, you're not going to remind us of something we forget about.
Mm-hmm.
I say this so much, people got to be tired of hearing it. When you meet one of us, offer sincere condolences, and they say, what was your loved one's name? What was your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife's name? Oh, Jake. Okay. How old was Jake? Tell me something about Jake. And then just listen. Mm-hmm. Do not try to use all of the cliches, because they don't work. Oh, it was God's will. He's in a better place. Fate. All of the, those are not good. Just ask about them. We like to talk about our loved ones.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are very uncomfortable with grief and don't know how to do that dance of grief and how to interact with people.
You don't have to do much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, ask me my kid's name, and I'll tell you, and then say, what do you do in high school? You play sports? And I'll give you 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the best solution is to show up very straightforwardly.
All we have is memory. That's it. And saying their names and showing interest in who they were keeps their spirit alive, and that's what we need.
Indeed.
That's what we love to do.
Indeed. Well, thank you for being with us today.
Sure.
to share about Jake. You've been listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day, sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. We're going to take a little break, take some calls. If there's a loved one that you would like to remember today, feel free to give us a call, and we'll talk all about it here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth. This is WGN Radio Honors. It's a conversation today dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. And today is sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. We're here with you until 12:30. And a little bit before the news break, I said that if you are a member of a Gold Star family, or if there's someone that you would like to remember today, feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll do our best to get you on the air. But we have a caller right now that I think has perhaps a very unique point of view. Eric, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for calling us. I understand that you do military funerals?
Yes, Amy. I happen to be a funeral director, and the funeral home, our funeral home is very, very military and Gold Star family oriented. And as often as I go to the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery out in Elwood, it never gets routine for me. I mean, there are times where we go there, you know, two or three times a week, and there's something about the folding of the flag while they're playing taps, the volley of shots, that even as a professional funeral director, I start to get choked up. And, you know, I'm not really supposed to, because I have to try and remain professional. You know, I have to be able to help the families. But it's a very, very profound place, and I encourage anybody and everybody to attend a military funeral, or at least attend the, you know, the cemetery, to see the rows and rows of gravestones of people who have, you know, sacrificed their lives for our country. And it adds a totally profound meaning to Memorial Day.
Certainly.
And what I was going to also say is, you know, we hold an annual get-together for all families, not just Gold Star families, because after the funeral, there is a tomorrow. You know, there will be a time where the flowers wilt, and like your gentleman, you know, caller said, you know, okay, after the funeral is over, now what? Now you're at home, now you see a vacant chair, or you're alone, and it's very important to either get involved or handle the grief in what we call a healthy way, so that it isn't complicated.
Yeah. I really appreciate your call, Eric. Where is it that you do this work?
Well, I work with the Maher Funeral Home over in Tinley Park. You can just Google us, and you know, Maher, M-A-H-E-R, and you know, we'll be happy to sit down and help. And we always help people, you know, regardless of funds. We are always there to help people, you know, financially or emotionally.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the call today.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So there again, you know, feel free to give us a call. I did the call out specifically if someone would like to remember a loved one today, but certainly that was a very interesting and unique perspective there from a funeral director talking about this very important topic as we're talking about all the things about and the stories behind Memorial Day and all the pieces of it, because it's a complicated one. I think with any big topic we talk about, there's a lot of layers and nuances to it.
It is, and the challenge that he described there is the challenge that we find is, how do you honor them, find a way to keep that memory alive, mm-hmm. but live the rest of your life?
That's right.
And it is a challenge. I had a brother who was killed in a car accident. Our oldest daughter, Calypso, lost her fiancé, who was a Marine, young Marine veteran, two tours in Iraq, took his own life. Mm. She struggles every day to find a way to move on.
Sure.
Keep his memory alive. And so it is within all of us to try and find a way to understand what they go through, help them grieve, help them find their way down the path, and do it in a way that both honors their service, but understand that there's much more to give in life.
That's right. I really like the point that our last guest, Jim Frazier, made about be straightforward. You know, it's not like you're bringing up something we're not thinking about. Right. You know, just say, hey, what was your loved one's name and what were they like? How old were they? I think that we do this thing about grief where we try to, oh, I don't want to make it awkward. But I think you're making it awkward by trying to not make it awkward.
And some of that is probably depending on the person. The newer the tragedy is to them, it might be a little bit harder. But you even see this with folks who say, thank you for your service. My brother Chris, 2 tours, 3rd Marine Recon in Vietnam. And he's a pretty tough guy, but quiet. Somebody said, well, thank you for your service. He said, well, I didn't do it for you, right? So, yeah. And he was sort of half joking, yeah. But it's Brandon probably gets that as well. Yeah. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's tough. I think there's so few of us that have had that experience, and less and less each day. But it's incumbent on everyone, veteran, non-veteran, to remember, like Jim said, to ask those really simple questions. And I think our next guest, I mean,
I was
this is
say,
a,
we
this,
have new guests in the
no,
studio.
No, I think this is a great kind of segue into what they're doing. You know, Mark, you talked about your daughter's fiance and the struggles he had when he came home, and we're with an organization now that tries to help again bring them into the fold within a team and an organization. That WGN listeners in Chicago community is really well known, the Chicago Blackhawks. So we have 2 members of the Blackhawk Warriors, all veteran disabled team here that not only plays in Chicago against numerous other leagues and teams, but also nationally against other veteran teams, affiliated teams to the NHL team. So I have Rich and Kevin. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Memorial
Thank
Day.
You.
So tell us,
go for it.
Tell us, Rich, a little bit more about the Warriors. How long you've been around? How many veterans you've been able to bring underneath to develop?
The Blackhawk Warriors were founded in 2015 in conjunction with USA Hockey, the disabled sector of USA Hockey. And what we do is we use the hockey as a rehabilitation tool to help our veterans, our injured veterans, reintegrate back into society, back into civilian life, because it's a very difficult thing for a lot of them to attain. You know, they come home not only physically disabled, a lot of psychological issues that they have, and a lot of times they'll isolate themselves from the rest of the world. And we use hockey as a tool of trying to bring them out back into society and back to help them just get back into life again.
That's great. And Kevin, how long have you been with the team?
I've been with the team since we started.
Great.
2015.
Remind me of your branch of service?
I was in the Army for 10 years.
Awesome. What has your experience been like, and how has it helped in terms of your reintegration, kind of that network and community building?
It's honestly been a lifesaver. It's changed my life around completely. It was that transition I needed from the military to become a civilian again. I spent 10 years in the military. It's a way of life. So when you get out, it's very different. It's a different way of life that you're thrown into immediately. There's a little bit of preparation, not a whole lot. In this team, it gets you back together with like-minded people every week, and we're able to share that experience and help each other along and create that family bond that we had in the military. We can bring that back into our civilian life. And it's been great.
For people who are listening who might want to become involved in the organization or support it in some way, how could they do so?
To support us, we have our website, which is www.chicagoblackhawkswarriors.com. There is a donation tab on the website. You can click on that and donate to the team. Otherwise, we look for volunteers to help us. Players, we're always looking for players. We started out in 2015 with 9 players. And to this day, we've grown up. We're about 46 active players on our roster now. So the key stipulation is with our organization is we play in the Warrior Division, which requires a minimum of 10% disability, be it physical or psychological. So we actually do have to turn players away because they are not disabled. But, you know, we look because we play other Warrior teams from all around the country. You look at Alaska, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Minnesota, Michigan. I think they're up to about 22 organizations now. And we play them yearly at a national festival at the end of the year for our championship season. But it's an avenue where we can help all these soldiers and if anyone else wants to help, you can go on our website, volunteer, email us, anything.
And veterans, if they want to get involved but they don't have the equipment or their skill level might not be where you think, I mean, just come out and you guys can help them with all that.
You
right?
come out. Yeah. Yeah, we practice once a week, but you come out. We've had people that have never been on skates before, and they've come out, and we've taught them to skate, worked them through the program. We have other players that have actually played junior hockey together. So we don't discriminate against any of them. We take them all, and it's what we do. It's our job. We try to get them acclimated again.
And you said there are 22 organizations around the country.
Yes.
that you play against and interact with and work with. How involved are you? Is it friendly rivalry? Is it day to day? You know, a bigger organization that connects you all deeply, or is it a bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. We all play under the guise of USA Hockey, and under USA Hockey controls virtually all amateur hockey in the country, from when you're a little guy growing up or learn to skate until you're into the Olympics. We fall under the disabled sector of that, which there are five different disciplines that compete in disabled hockey. So, it's giving these individuals the opportunity that would have never thought they had the opportunity to ice skate or play hockey in their life, and we give them that avenue to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And so you gave us ways for people to get involved and support and all of that. And, when we talk about Memorial Day in particular, you know, I think we've been saying kind of throughout the morning how so often Veterans Day and Memorial Day are conflated and they get intertwined and people with very good intentions, you know, right, tend right. to kind of confuse the two. And what does your organization do to specifically honor or recognize Memorial Day?
We really don't concentrate on it a lot because it's a very individual, personal holiday for our veterans. A lot of times people will come up and, thank you for your service. And Memorial Day is special. Just getting them to interact sometimes. You have to look at every one of these players that we have lost someone close that they've served with. And It's a rough weekend for them. They have a lot of things they go through, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and we just kind of let them be. If they need help, someone on this team is always available. Just pick up the phone if you have a problem, if you have a question, and someone's there to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And again, our friends from Blackhawk Warriors, if you're interested in supporting the organization, we'll have links available after the program on the podcast page. So we're going to take a little break right now. You are listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the true meaning of Memorial Day. That's sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.
This is WGN Radio honoring Memorial Day stories. Today's special broadcast is sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Now back to Amy Guth and Mark Doyle.
WGN. Thanks for being with us today as we're talking about Memorial Day. Sorry that Rejoin only named one of you. There's two of you here today.
That's all right. We knew who the big guy was.
Indeed, Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor is our special guest co-host today. But we also have another special guest co-host, and that is Brandon Marty, the owner of Veterans Roasters, this very delicious coffee. If I'm talking fast, it's because of Veteran Roasters. That's why, for sure. Well, here in just a bit, we're going to be talking to the CEO and founder of Combat Flip Flops about a really interesting organization, interesting work they're doing there. So
amazing guy, yeah. Matt Griffin, he was a special operator in Afghanistan and decided to make a difference back in the conflict zones where he was once traversing with his team. And it is an amazing story.
And I got to say, if you have not watched this man's TED Talk, you must do so. It's so fascinating. It's so good. I feel like there are many TED Talks. There's a lot of them. But this one is really compelling. It's, this guy walks out and he's wearing flip-flops on the TED Talk stage. And you're like, what's about to happen right now? What's he doing? And he's a really interesting guy. And he has such a just this laid-back, you know, vibe to him that's very approachable and very, very open. And he really has some beautiful messages about that are I think very accessible no matter where you fall politically. I think his messages are very easy to get and easy to grab and just kind of understand about, hey, we're all in this stew together. Let's figure this out.
And he does it with, you know, when you imagine what this guy's a special forces. He's a team leader, fire support operator, and he was a trained killer. When you listen to them, he
could
be a philosophy teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or a surfer or something.
Yeah,
he's such
a
chill guy.
So laid back. And what he has done and the difference he has made in Afghanistan in the lives of hundreds of children who are now going to school because he created combat flip-flops.
Yeah.
I was in Afghanistan for a year. Unbeknownst to me, they started in a boot factory. And the one star that we reported to said, we need to support the local economy. You all need to buy these combat boots. And we did. They're pretty well made. And that's where, actually, he got his start. And then he branched out. And when the listeners, when they go to his website, which I hope they do, flip-flops are tremendous. But they've got sarongs and they've got scarves and bracelets and amazing.
And you know, when you first go to the website, it seems like, what is this? Because this tagline, bad for running, worse for fighting. You're like, what is this? What's happening right now? But it's really, I mean, you quickly realize like it's a kind of cheeky outset, but a really meaningful organization that's doing a lot of work, particularly education for children, but for young girls and opportunities for girls. There's a lot going on here that this guy is doing. But again, head to his TED Talk. His name is Matt Griffin. We're going to talk to him here in a second. Just about this work that he's doing and all this, and it's very cool. There's a lot.
And what he's doing right now, he's going out, I'll let him tell you actually, what he's going to do is something pretty cool because he's used to jumping out of airplanes, and he's about to do something with a flag out of an airplane.
It sounds like it might hurt.
It could hurt if you hope he doesn't miss.
Yeah, right? Let's talk to him. We're joined now by Matt Griffin, CEO and founder of Combat Flip Flops. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about Memorial Day today and the ways to honor it and observe it and in a way that is, you know, perhaps celebrating and honoring the lives of people who did not make it back from military service. But I understand that you're about to do something very interesting to honor the day. Please tell us all about it.
So I am. So I don't know if everybody knows, but this year is the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes.
About 6 or 7 months ago, we started this project, and we are going to do a tandem free fall of a Gold Star mother into Normandy on June 5th. And so her name is Scotty Domey, and she is the mother of the most deployed U.S. soldier to ever be killed in combat, Sergeant First Class Christopher Domey. He passed away on his 14th deployment, and we just decided that, you know, it'd be a good thing for her to connect with her son through airborne operations and do something fun together. So we've been training for the past 6 months to do this, and today is our last final rehearsal before we go over to France next week. And so today we're going to be jumping in the names of Jay Blessing, Pat Tillman, Rick Peraza, Dale Graham, Andrew Higgins, and Chris Domey.
Wow.
Matt, you're an amazing guy. Tell us about Combat Flip-Flops. Tell us a story. I've been regaling everybody with stories about you in the studio, but let's hear it.
I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, but essentially we're a bunch of former special operations guys, and we believe that economic development is way more sustainable and peaceful than war. So we travel to conflict areas, we create fashion and lifestyle products with local entrepreneurs, and then we teach them how to export their products to the U.S. and Europe, and then we sell them here in the United States, and with our profits we put little girls to school in Afghanistan. Clear landmines and help some veteran charities. And so we've put over 600 girls in school in Afghanistan over the past couple of years. We've cleared over 15,000 square meters of landmines, and we've given to countless veteran charities at home to help encourage veterans to take on the next phase of their life.
Matt, we were talking right before we called you up. We were talking about your TED Talk, and I thought it was a really beautiful message that you have. And there was one line I rewound a moment to hear it again because it was so simple and yet mind-bogglingly big. And that was, you can manufacture peace through trade if we are persistent, if we are creative, if we are respectful to one another. That's such a simple, elegantly simple message, and yet a really complicated one, the idea of manufacturing peace through trade. How did that idea first come to you?
There's been parables about this forever. We're not the first ones to ever experience this. And the old line that comes from, you know, I don't know how old, probably thousands of years old, but it says, borders that are frequented by merchants seldom need soldiers. And I remember in college, I went to West Point, and they had, you know, you take in the foreign policy theory, but the McDonald's theory. The two countries that have ever had a McDonald's have never gone to war. And so what alternatives do we have? What other tools do we have in our playbook to bring, you know, some sort of calm and stability to foreign relations other than war, which seems to be the thing that we've been doing for so long. And, you know, we did it. We've been doing it for, you know, I guess we were going on 18 years now. And I think, you know, as service members and as citizens, we need to be holding our policy makers accountable and say, hey, you guys need to pull some different tools out of the toolbox. They're here for you. Why don't we do it? And to be honest, people haven't been doing it. So if you don't find what you want in this world, you got to make it. And so we just decided we were going to do it with a fun and interesting company called Combat Flip Flops, which is it's been a wild ride ever since. And the whole thing is, you know, we can show with our own small private dollars that it's possible to do this and just have proof, because that's all that really matters is proof. And we've been doing it for 7 years. It works. And we just hope that more people join us and create more proof and goodness in the world.
Matt, where can people go to find out more about Combat Flip Flops?
So always the website. So right now we're having, if you sign on to our email list, you're going to get a free audio download of the book. So we wrote a book last year called Steps Ascending, Rise of the Unarmed Forces. So you get a free book and you can learn about our mission all the way from the foundation moving forward. And then if you want to follow us on social, everything's at Combat Flip Flops. So Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, Twitter, everything's at Combat Flip Flops.
That is awesome. Thank you, my friend. Have fun jumping out of an airplane today.
Yeah,
thanks for all you do.
Good luck with that. Remember,
thank you.
Land softly.
Yep, feet and knees together.
That's right. Feet and knees together. That's right.
Feet and knees together. Well, have a great day and have a happy Memorial Day.
Thanks. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much. That we're talking with Matt Griffin, CEO and founder of Combat Flip Flops. Again, company tagline, bad for running, worse for fighting, which is funny, but really, really a lot of interesting work there from that organization. So we're going to take a little break back in just a bit, and we're going to get you news, all those good things. You're listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes. It's a day of thanks for the valor of others.
On this Memorial Day morning, WGN Radio honors Memorial Day stories. Our very special broadcast is brought to you by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Here are your hosts, Amy Guth and Mark Doyle.
720 WGN, thanks for being with us today on this very special Memorial Day broadcast. As I said a little bit earlier in the program, we're going to be taking calls throughout the day today. We're here with you until 12:30. So if there's someone that you would like to remember today, we will do our best to get you on the air so that you can remember him or her today on this very special Memorial Day. 312-981-7200. And although the rejoin we just heard said that we have one co-host. In fact, we have two co-hosts today. Of course, Mark Doyle is in studio with us from Rags of Honor, but also Brandon Marty, who is the owner of Veteran Roasters, is here also co-hosting. I got an embarrassment of riches of co-hosts today is what I got going on today, and I'm delighted by that. We also have a special guest in studio now. We're joined by Bobby Wise, who is the Chicago Program Coordinator of Merging Vets and Players. Welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about your organization, if you would.
Merging Vets and Players, I gotta say, this is like the coolest job I've ever had. So it was founded 3 years ago. Nate Boyer, who's a Special Forces vet and also played for the Seattle Seahawks, and Jake Laser, who does sports commentary for Fox News or Fox Sports and other organizations. They were sitting down one day talking about some of their buddies, both from the NFL and the Army, who were having trouble with their transition. They were having trouble with that loss of team, and they wanted to do something about it. So they got a handful of vets and athletes together at Jay's gym, did a closed workout, 45 minutes of just getting their sweat on. Then they sat down afterwards and just talked about whatever was on their minds, their life, their goal, their challenge, and offered each other best practices. And they found out that, hey, this is a really great way to help vets and athletes with their transition to the next phase of their life. Both vets and athletes, we face this thing where our entire adult lives, our individual identity is informed by our team identity. And then that team goes away, be it the barracks or the clubhouse. well, who are we then? What do we do then? What do we do with ourselves, with that energy that we have? So now we are operating in four cities, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Atlanta, and here in Chicago. We've been here in Chicago since last September. And it's this is honestly the program that I wish existed 13 years ago when I transitioned out of the Army. It's a great opportunity to work on your mental fitness. It's also a great opportunity to work on your physical fitness as well as your mental and your emotional fitness.
You know, and I think that's such an interesting parallel that I don't know that I've heard often when we think about that team mindset versus right. individual identity.
Totally.
And that's an interesting parallel to draw between sports teams and sports players and military personnel and that military unit. That's a really interesting way. So mm-hmm. What was that initial merging of those two that perhaps have more in common than we think? What was that initial phase like?
Yeah, I wasn't there for it, but I was out in Los Angeles a few weeks ago and got a chance to meet with some of the original members. We've actually got one of them who moved back out here to Chicago. But you see it with every new guy who comes in, and there's like this certain hesitancy. Like the first week that they come in, they work out, and it's like, oh, who are these people? And what are they trying to get out of me? And then the second week, they get a little more into the workout, and they relax a little bit more. And then the third week, the fourth week, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open, because now you've got this sense of trust. Now you understand, okay, this is my team. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether it was an athlete, whether they played for the Bears, the Bulls, the Hawks, or they served in the Army, the Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy. Now we've got this common team. We've got this common experience. It's both physically and emotionally. You can see all of the guards let down, and people feel a lot more comfortable. And once you're done, like, holding back that stress, there's so many other things in life that can fall into place. So that original chapter in Los Angeles, so many of their members were in crisis situation. They were in homeless shelters. They were having substance abuse issues. They were having issues with their family. And a year of working out and rebuilding that sense of team, now suddenly they've got this foundation that they can work off of. It's just a hell of a lot of fun, too.
Bobby, can you say more about it? I've been fortunate enough to come and join and be a part of the sessions, but it's a 2-hour program, right? Weekly.
Right.
And we talked a lot about the kind of the first hour in fitness, but mm-hmm. the second hour is really where you make the breakthroughs, right? When you start right. talking about that emotional and mental right. fitness, and then that connection to relieve the stress and to totally. Share what you're going through. And those are, to your point, what you mentioned earlier, the real breakthroughs.
And the physical and the emotional go hand in hand. So yeah, the first 45 minutes we work out, and, a lot of what we do is we intentionally pair people off so that we can work out together and engage what are called mirror neurons. And what that does, it engages the part of your brain where actually your emotions live. And then afterwards, we sit down and we do the huddle. We talk. Just talk about whatever's on our minds. Sometimes there are some really pregnant silences, and that's fine. But you've got that opportunity to talk about what's going on in your life while you're in this headspace where you're already engaged with another person and you already trust that person and you've opened up the emotional processing part of your mind. And it really opens the door for you to talk about some stuff that you might have been holding back.
And I think that's such a big part of that. You know, we I think are now entering a time in which we can talk about mental health a mm-hmm. lot more openly than we have in years past. And I know that's such a big component when we're talking about veterans issues that I think was unaddressed or not completely addressed anyway for such a long time. Is that difficult to get that going? To, you know, you're talking about the first, second, third visit.
Right.
Is it you know, kind of a gentle step into that conversation?
Because trust is such a big part of that conversation, and you can't open up about these things with strangers. That's why so many folks, you know, regardless of military or civilian background, have a hesitancy to work with mental health professionals, because now you have to open up and bare your soul with a complete stranger who's taking notes. That's a weird place to get into. So this, you know, we're hesitant to call it mental health because, you know, none of us are mental health professionals, mm-hmm. But it is peer support.
Yeah, emotional and it is support. Sure,
peer-to-peer mentoring, mm-hmm. And we always, whenever we give advice, it's always in terms of best practices, what has worked best for me, because nobody wants to be told what to do, right? But it's it's a really great opportunity to talk with people you trust who are on your team and share your experience.
Bobby, can you share more maybe about your personal experience and who, if there's anyone specific or what you think about on Memorial Day?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a U.S. Army Black Hawk crew chief, fellow Army aviation guy like you.
Yep, we got there. Well, Navy on this side.
Sorry.
But same airframe.
Yeah, totally. And oh my God. God, I used to hate Memorial Day. I served 6 years, two tours in Iraq. I've lost probably about a dozen buddies, like honest to God friends and just work colleagues. And it started when I was in AIT, actually. One of our guys passed away from pneumonia, just got sick and passed on in training. And then for the next 5 years I was in the service, I didn't go a year without going to a memorial service, and every Memorial Day it was like I was just surrounded by ghosts, and physical activity, physical fitness was a big part of why I can stand this weekend at all. About 5 years ago I started doing the Chicago Veterans Ruck March. I call it a little walk through the park. We start in Glencoe, we finish in Lincoln Park, and it's 20 miles, and it started off just like 50 folks going out for a walk, and then turned into 300, and now we're up to 2,400. We're registered for this past Friday's march, and it's just an opportunity to get together with other people who are also sharing that experience. You get out there and you talk and you tell stories, and some of those stories are about the guys that you lost, and you can, you know, remember and honor the memory of those folks who you wish were still here. It's a great opportunity for the civilian population of Chicago who can, like, see us out marching. Because a lot of folks, you ask them, what does a veteran look like? And either they don't know the answer to that, or they think of, you know, their Uncle Jerry who was in Vietnam and shares some really untoward opinions over Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. You know, veterans are, they look like everybody else. We're only 7% of the population, but it's a very equal drawing from that population. We're from every ethnic background, from every social background. We fall into every sort of job. So it's really healthy for everybody. And then after the march, you know, I'm just too dang sore to feel bad about anything except my blisters and my sore muscles. And then Wednesday, I get to go to MVP, and I get to work out again, and I get those endorphins up, and I get the opportunity to talk with folks who I share that experience with, and it kind of maintains that throughout the rest of the year.
Well, I wish we had so much more time to talk with you, but I appreciate you joining us and talking about this. Where can people go to find out more about the organization and events and support and all that stuff?
Totally. Come check out our website, vetsandplayers.org. And if you're here in Chicago, we work out every Wednesday, 7 p.m. at POW Gym, 310 South Racine here in Chicago in the West Loop. It's kind of kitty corner from UIC Pavilion. If you are a combat vet, bring your DD-214. I just need to lay eyes on it. I don't keep a copy. And if you are a former athlete, come on down. We'll just Google your name, just see your, or I don't know, bring a baseball card. That'll work.
Bring something cool.
And yeah, let's get a sweat on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. Bobby Wise is the Chicago Program Coordinator for Merging Vets and Players. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be back here in just a bit on 720 WGN. Seven 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to WGN Radio Honors, and it's a big conversation that we're having all morning long about, it's really just about the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. I think we opened the show talking about this, and I think it's worth reiterating that we often confuse the purpose behind Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and it's very important that we keep it separate, that we keep, especially Memorial Day, there's a lot of topics, there's a lot of layers here, I think, is what we've been learning this morning. And with our guests so far, as I'm thinking about this, I really think there's some common themes that I think are important to highlight. There's the power of connection, there's the power of community that are really standing out to me, and the power of straightforward openness. You know, I really heard that very profoundly from Jim Frazier, who was our Gold Star father that joined us a little bit earlier. He said, you know, don't dance around the awkwardness, just come out and say, you know, tell us about the person that you lost. And I think that's so important, this straightforward way of and coming together. That's so important.
Well, I'd add one too, and it's the power of stories. Right.
For sure.
And so many of these stories we're losing in previous generations. We talk about the 75 year anniversary of D-Day. World War II vets are dying at, I think, 5,000 a day.
My grandfather just died this past year, and he, you know, I had the foresight of gathering his story before he passed. Of his, he was at D-Day, he was there, and
that's amazing.
You know, it was interesting when I was interviewing him about all this. You know, he was a kid when he went, and he was such a calm presence. His body language changed. He looked, as he was describing being in that setting, his body language changed, and he looked like a kid again. Like, he was kind of wiggling uncomfortably and kind of rolling at the side of his pants. I'll never forget that he was there mentally. And then he said, you know, let's stop for a minute. I'm going to go out in the yard and rake some leaves. He just kind of needed a minute. And that was very powerful to me personally.
Yeah. And for me as a veteran, but talking to those in previous eras, I had a really neat connection with my wife's grandfather. He served in World War II, torpedo gunner in the Navy. And the stories that he would share with me that brought up memories because I was serving at the time, his family never knew any of those. So it was a great way for them to reconnect or connect with him because they didn't know what to ask.
That's right.
And they didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. But he would just openly share things with me just because of the shared experience.
Because he knew you knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which is another point that Jim Frazier made earlier, that the power of being with other Gold Star families is, it's you know, as he said, it's a club no one wants to join, but yet when you are there, when you are, you know, thrust into that situation, there's a very special conversation to be had.
And it seems like the further away they get from it, my brother Chris, as I said, did two tours with 3rd Marine Recon. For 30 years, hadn't said a word. But we go to dinner once a month now, and the stories start to come out. Funny stories. I mean, this guy was a dead-on combat guy. Mm-hmm. My wife's father was a Purple Heart Iwo Jima Marine. Didn't talk about, he was a surgeon, went on to be a surgeon. The last 5 years of his life, the stories just started to come out of them. So it seems like it gets to a point where they want to start to talk about it again.
Yeah, yeah, it's very, very interesting. Well, if there is someone that you would like to honor today, please feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200, or just a comment about Memorial Day or a particular way that you observe the day. We'll do our best to get everyone on who calls us. But we have a guest joining us by phone now, Mark Vondrasek. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Mark, it's Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Thanks so much for joining. And, you know, with Rags of Honor and Veteran Roasters, we're so happy to share kind of your story, and I'll let you kind of tell more about, you're with Hyatt Corporation here in Chicago and doing some really great things in the military and veteran space. So I guess I'll just start out kind of with your personal thoughts around Memorial Day and what you're thinking about today.
Thanks, Brennan, and hi to Mark as well.
Hey, buddy.
I'd start by just saying, you know, I've been listening all morning, and I'm just thrilled to be joining you guys this morning. And we're all thinking of all of our fallen heroes and their families on this very special Memorial Day. So, you know, for me, it's a day that is properly all about remembrance and just gratitude for those that we've lost from our service. And, you know, those who provide service to our country. You know, for me personally, I'm fortunate enough to lead Hyatt's Veteran Diversity Business Resource Group, which really is a group that is aimed to do two things. It's to try and welcome our veterans at Hyatt as both a great place to stay for their families, but also a great place to work. And, you know, we've done a lot in partnership with you guys and in partnership with others to try to do just that. So just excited to be here this morning and share some time with you.
How can people listening find out more about what you're doing, get involved, support it, all of that good stuff?
Well, on the stay with us side, last November on Veterans Day, we actually launched a permanent veterans discount code, which is good for 10% to 15% off of all hotel stays at Hyatt for veterans around the world. And the results have really been terrific. So I first of all encourage any veterans that are listening today to use this code for, you know, for their own travel plans. And more information on that specifically can be found at Hyatt.com/veterans. But, you know, deeper than that, you know, we've spent a lot of time also figuring out how we can learn from the work that Brandon and Mark have done so tremendously well in support of veterans. And so we partnered with organizations like Higher Purpose, which is a company that helps us source tremendous talent to work at Hyatt Hotels and our corporate office. I think now we've got about 1,400 roles posted across our organization on Hyatt Purpose. And what we like about them is, as you know, they're a company that's built by veterans for veterans. And so they're so well suited to help us find and recruit veterans, service members, and their families to work and be part of the Hyatt family. So I think, you know, those two efforts, both on giving folks the opportunity to stay with us at a discounted level, and then also, and more importantly, the opportunity to work with us and join us as a family have been areas of focus.
Well, I really appreciate you talking with us today. It's wonderful that you've joined us on this day. For as much as we have been saying this again and again, I think it bears repeating, and that is when we think about Memorial Day, you know, it can be somber. It is somber on many levels, but it is a multi-layered day. There's a lot to it, and I think stories are very powerful, and the way we're supporting our veterans is part of that equation. Even though Memorial Day is about something different, truly, I think it is important the way we talk about veterans and the way we're interacting with veterans, and like the work that you're doing is so very important. So I appreciate you joining us today to talk about the work you're doing.
No, that's great. You know, and honestly, Mark and Brandon have just brought people like me. I'm not a veteran, but I'm an ally of veterans and have been my whole life. And they just brought folks like me so much closer to understanding what this day means and what every day means in support of our veterans, and just trying to provide opportunities for them, trying to communicate and connect with them differently. And I will tell you from Hyatt's perspective, all of our veterans that work in our organization are proud, they're dedicated, and they're passionate. And, you know, in the hotel business, it is and always has been a people business. So having veterans with these type of characteristics in guest-facing and connecting roles just makes great business sense for us. And, you know, it's just been wonderful to be able to do more and connect better. And honestly, a large part of that has been our work with Rags of Honor and Mark and the great work that him and Brandon have done there.
Indeed. Hear, hear. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Marco.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a little break, get you to news, all that good stuff, back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
In a world tormented by tension and the possibilities of conflict, we join together to honor those who made our freedom possible. They died that this country might permit it to go on, and that it might permit it to be fulfilled, the great hopes of its founders.
This is WGN Radio honoring Memorial Day Stories. Today's special broadcast is sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Now back to Amy Goof and Mark Doyle.
720 WGN, thanks for being with us today. Indeed, co-host Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor is here, as well as other co-hosts from Veteran Roasters. That's Brandon Marty here in studio with us. You know, before the break, I said if there's anyone that you would like to remember today, please give us a call, 312-981-7200. Roberta, you've been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much for joining us today. Who would you like to remember this Memorial Day?
In honor of my father, Robert Snodgrass, U.S. Army, he was killed in 1944 on the island of New Guinea. And my sister was 7 and I was 3 and a half. And we cherish his last letter to her, in which he asks us if we got new dresses and shoes for Easter, and that she should look out for me crossing the street and not let little boys bother me. And I keep his Purple Heart under a glass dome. And as a footnote to all of this is that I was able to graduate college in 1962 by going under the GI Bill. Mm. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the call, Roberta. I really appreciate you sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That's very touching. Wow. That and good advice. Don't let boys bother you. Yeah. Good advice from Dad right there. Indeed. Well, lots that we're doing today. We're here in a moment. We have a guest joining us by phone, but we have a third co-host in the house.
We just keep adding them.
We just keep it. Eventually, it's just going to be the
you might not have
the co-op of I can go. I can go on break. It's fine. I'll go to lunch.
Well, it's my honor to introduce my partner, Kip Doyle, wife of Mark Doyle, you know, she's the one that really started Veteran Roasters. She's the one that put up the money to found it and used kind of the vision that Mark had. And I was so fortunate to come in and help run it with her and hire so many more veterans and support them. And she's really a Renaissance woman, as we just talked
That's
about during
hear.
Break. Works on lobster boats, races motorcycles.
As one does.
Raised 4 beautiful children, doing great things. So I'll stop embarrassing her. I'll let her husband do it.
What can you say about a woman who raised 4 children by herself, invented the card shark skin, has all the patents on it, races motorcycles.
What? You're holding up your phone. What is that thing?
On the back of this phone is where you can put your credit card. And the invention...
Wait,
is,
you invented that?
She invented it. Holds all the patents on it. Yeah.
No big deal. I just invented a thing everyone's got. That's fine.
And just one of the kindest, most amazing, most generous people. I'm going to tell you a quick story about her. Rags of Honor, you know, we hire homeless and at-risk veterans. And one of the fellows who worked for us, we just got him. He got married and he bought a little home. And his first mortgage payment was due. She overheard him talking to his wife that they were going to be a little bit short. I didn't know anything about it. So she Venmo'd him enough money to make his first mortgage payment. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't say anything about it. We only know because he put it on Facebook. He wanted to thank Kip Doyle for being like a second mom to him. Mm. That's my wife. And the man you're about to meet on the radio, Max Martini, is an amazing actor who wrote, produced, starred in a film called Sergeant Will Gardner. And Kip is working on a TV series that's going to be very emotionally riveting about the lives of veterans reintegrating. And Max is going to join her on that project, and we are fortunate enough to have him.
Max, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us by phone this morning.
No, thanks so much for having me. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here with you guys.
Well, tell us about the project that you're working on with Kip.
Well, we actually just met, and I didn't even know the backstory. Wow, what an amazing woman! she's doing a it's a scripted series that will get into stories about vets that have overcome PTS, TBI, different struggles. And I think at the end of every episode, and we're still developing it to a degree, you'll have a vet that will come on and do an actual interview, a little piece at the end of the show. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to see how vets are overcoming these issues and these ailments, and inspire veterans to come forward and ask for help, those that are that haven't done so, and I think there's a lot of good that can come out of it, and I'm a big supporter, and I really wanted to be a part of it. It's a great chance to do some good.
Thank you so much, Max, and thanks for taking time out. I think what really sparked my interest in meeting you and getting to talk to you more about your work was obviously Sergeant Will Gardner, which is a movie that you have shown the greatest commitment to the veteran population through your, you know, seeking the funding to get this amazing film done, writing it, producing it, directing it, and then, of course, starring and acting in it. You've taken everything that really matters to you, and you've put it into a beautiful piece. So what this is really about is you know, what motivated you, and also not to forget, most importantly, is that the proceeds, a percentage of the proceeds going back out to your three charities that you selected in the veteran initiatives. I know that was really important to you, and so I really want to let you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could go back to, I did a movie many moons ago, Saving Private Ryan, and you know, one of the wonderful things about that film that I remember is that it started this conversation amongst veterans from World War II. You know, it was, I remember going to the premiere of that, and we had invited all these wonderful, you know, warriors to come in and be a part of the screening. And afterwards, I mean, they were just in tears, and it really triggered this, this conversation, like I said, and, you know, and that's the first part of the healing process in my mind is to start to talk about it. So as a result of having been a part of that film, you know, I started playing soldiers in these incredible movies, and my base of friends largely became military. And I have, I have personal experiences with buddies having come back from combat injured. And one day I just decided that, you know, I could do some good, you know. So I wrote this movie, Sergeant Will Gardner. My intention was always to raise awareness, but also to raise money for charities that I support, three in particular. And, you know, we've released the film. The film came out great. The response has been tremendous. You know, I get social media messages regularly, probably 30 a day, from soldiers that, you know, have thanked me for making the film, that, you know, expressed, you know, that it had either encouraged them to come forward and get help or, you know, reinforced the decision, you know, that they had made to do so, and inspired them and inspired friends of theirs. So I think a lot of good came out of the film. It's a little bit of a crawl to profit. So, you know, I'm trying to recruit as many people as I can to watch the movie on Amazon. It's on Netflix right now, although if you don't buy it on Amazon, buying it on streaming platforms is a way for it to help us get to our profit margin. But nevertheless, it is available on Netflix, and yeah, I mean, I think in success we can actually change some lives with this movie. So.
Yeah, as an aside, I really enjoy the phrase "crawl to profit." That's a very delicate and elegant way to say that. I really enjoy that very much. Well, you know, you mentioned the outreach, the stories that people have shared with you about their experience in the military, in their military service. It seems like that you've mentioned that in several interviews. Are there any particular stories that really stand out to you as being extremely moving, that ones that maybe stick with you?
Well, you know, just recently I had a soldier send me a message regarding one of the charities that we support, Warriors Heart, which is based in Texas. They're not only assisting veterans, but first responders that are suffering from drug and alcohol addictions. I think that's a prerequisite to get into the program. But this gentleman sent me a social media message saying, you know, it's so wonderful that you're supporting this charity in particular. This charity, I went through their program. You know, at a certain point, I was completely lost. And they gave my children their father back. They gave my wife, her husband back. There's so many stories, and there's so many people that I've talked to that have, you know, in particular suffering from TBI. But it's the recovery messages that really get you. It's the ones that you know, successfully reclaimed their life post-combat, that have, you know, been able to reintegrate back into the workforce and society, and it's those success stories that really, you know, touch you at your core. So that one in particular was just hearing that this program brought this father back to his children was just incredibly touching.
Yeah, very, I imagine, very, very touching story as well. Well, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you joining and talking about this project. And you know, there's not too many creative projects that we hear about too often that have such a charitable and social impact connection to them. Most of them are about a big blockbuster thing that made someone millions of dollars.
Right.
But so I really appreciate the work you're doing and appreciate you joining us to talk about it today. Thanks so much.
Bravo, Max.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Max.
Bye.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a little break. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here today. I've got some special co-hosts in the room. I got all kind of people in here. This is cool. I'm going to demand that I always have three co-hosts with me. That's just going to be my new thing. So here's what we're doing today. We're talking all about the stories behind Memorial Day because it is a very layered, nuanced thing. So Mark Doyle is here from Rags of Honor. He is co-host number one in random order. We're not doing like a pecking order, just in random order. Co-host number two, again, random order, from Veteran Roasters is Brandon Marty. And of course, Kip Doyle is here, who I just learned is a Renaissance woman and does literally everything. So we're just going to say Wonder Woman is here.
Wonder Woman
is here doing that. So this is WGN Radio Honors today. If you have a loved one that you would like to recognize on the air today, 312-981-7200. We'll get to as many callers as we possibly can. Appreciate the call we just had a bit ago from Roberta, honoring her father with lovely advice in a letter that still holds up so wonderfully. So really, there's been a lot of very moving moments on the air today that I've really enjoyed hearing about, and I hope the listeners have as well, that are really all about, you know, some of the same themes again and again, and we keep saying this, but it's community is there, and you know, Brandon, as you said, stories are so important, and straightforwardness, and really just unflinchingly going to let's have these conversations and let's talk about these things.
And there's two things, the takeaways that I get from this, and when you look at what Rags of Honor's tried to do, we've hired 80 veterans since we opened our doors. And Kip and Brandon have hired 5 now. And when you heard Bobby talk about this sense of community when you leave the service, one of the things that we have found, and why our friends at Del Frisco's, who are one of our partners in Veteran Roasters, and Hyatt Hotels, giving these men and women a place where they have commonality of service, and in our case, commonality of having been homeless, it gives them such a strong bond and makes them better workers, better human beings, better in their community, because they feel like they're attached and they can get on with their life.
Yeah, I thought that was such an interesting parallel that Bobby made about the team mindset
sports.
And yeah, that was so, so interesting. Again, if you have someone you'd like to honor today, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We are joined now by Bob. There's someone you'd like to honor today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the call. Who would you like to honor today on Memorial Day?
There's 3 individuals I'd like to honor. The first one, Sergeant Frank Picanti, Easy Company, 101st Airborne. He was from Joliet. He was a postman. But Frank was in the movie Band of Brothers, and he was the individual that was going down the road and found the prisoner of war camp.
Yeah.
I got to know him just by going to Thayer's restaurant and sitting down and talking to Frank. What a great guy. But he came back from World War II. He became a postman in Joliet, and he had a very simple life. Never talked about it much. But when Frank died, I was left a picture of him in his dress uniform, and it was quite the honor to receive it. The second one was my dad. Ed Stapleton, Private Ed Stapleton, 11th Airborne, United States Army. My father was joined. He was the end right there at the end of World War II, and he did his service. And the last one is my son, Sergeant Nicholas Stapleton, United States Air Force, Expeditionary Force Baghdad. And my son is 19 years in the Air Force Reserve, and I'm extremely proud of him.
Thank you so much for the call today, Bob. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right. Well, we are going to take a break, get you to news, all that good stuff. You are listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. That's sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Again, we greet you from Comiskey Park, the home of the
This afternoon, Memorial Day baseball from the South Side, as the Sox are back home to welcome the Kansas City Royals.
They are Chicago White Sox.
Andy Mazur has the pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ with the holiday first pitch at 1:10.
WGN is proud to present Chicago White
Sox. The flagship home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on Memorial Day with I got lots of co-hosts today. This is pretty cool. We've only got a couple minutes here before we go to news, but what is coming up on the other side? We've kept people busy. We've kept some ears busy this morning, but we still got an hour to go and lots to do on the program. We're going till 12:30. The other side of news, we're going to be talking with a couple of other Gold Star family members, as well as we're going to be talking with the CEO and founder of the Chicago-based organization Leave No Veteran Behind. That's Eli Williamson. So lots to do, many, many conversations ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast the time has flown by. But I think we have some great guests as well. And, you know what, the thing that, you know, you made me think about was how we talk about people that pass away in service, and so many keep it with them when they mm-hmm. come home, and they're fighting maybe some demons, some mental health sure. issues, and the suicide epidemic that Bobby brought up, and the Ruck March that tries to honor it as well as connect veterans back so that they have a community they don't have as much to deal with. But how many do we lose after the war to suicide? Not necessarily Gold Star families anymore, but it was affected by their service. So thinking about those folks
yeah.
as well.
I mean, I think that's a really interesting topic, right? Because it's I don't want to say it's a gray area, because I think that makes people sound invisible who are not.
Right.
But it's such a thing that I don't think we could overstate it. I don't think we could talk about it enough, possibly, and certainly not too much, because there is a segment of the veteran population that perhaps the direct impact is not there in combat, but it's soon after. It's struggling to return home. And we hear these stories that are just heart-wrenching of what happens after in that reintegration process that's so scary.
And just to underscore it, it is 11:30 a.m. By tomorrow at this time, 20 will have taken their own lives. So take a minute to think about that. By tomorrow at this time, 20 veterans will have taken their own lives. And as you just pointed out, the wounds are unseen. So many of these wounds are unseen. Now, some of them are because they've been wounded physically. But the mental wounds that the U.S. carry with them are devastating to the population, as you can just tell yeah. by the statistics.
And that's so much of what we're talking about yes. today, as we're sharing all the different stories and the different types of stories that go towards Memorial Day. As ever, we pick a topic and start talking about it, and it becomes complicated and nuanced, and there's a lot there. So we'll pick this conversation up back up on the other side of news. If there's someone you'd like to honor today, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll do our best to get everyone on the air. But right now, it's 11:30. Here's news with Steve Bertrand.
Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes. It's a day of thanks for the valor of others.
On this Memorial Day morning, WGN Radio honors Memorial Day stories. Our very special broadcast is brought to you by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Here are your hosts, Amy Guth and Mark Doyle.
720 WGN. Well, I like to over-deliver here. Under-promise, over-deliver. So in addition to Mark Doyle as a special co-host today, also Kip Doyle is here. Also from Veteran Roasters, Brandon Marty is here. So I got an yeah. embarrassment of riches, a co-host.
Who else today. Are we going to invite? Someone else this half hour?
I mean, let's just find. Is anybody's walking
any
by?
Family
hey,
members
hey,
around?
Hey, you want a co-host? Let's do this. Well, as we said, this is a Memorial Day special, and it's a layered topic. It's nuanced. There's a lot to it. And we've been talking about it with many people doing fascinating work in this area. From we were talking with an actor and director a bit ago. We've been talking about people about working out. We've been talking about people doing this. We got coffee roasting. We've got a lot happening here. Even talking with our friends at Hyatt and the work that they're doing in that space. So there's There's a lot. There's a lot here. And I'm telling you, at the end of the show, in an hour, when we wrap things up at 12:30, I'm sure we're going to walk away and go, oh, we didn't talk to so-and-so. Oh, we didn't, you know.
There's we need to do it again.
Well, there's next year. This, you know.
We can't wait that long.
I know. Well, and that's why we invite you on the station a lot, Mark, because there's always a lot to talk about. There's always a lot of work to be done in this area, so we always appreciate you joining us. Still lots to do here in this hour that remains. We have two guests joining us by phone here. There's going to be a little bit of dance here to get two people on the phone at the same time. Not impossible, though. First, we're joined by Modi Lavin, who does a lot of fascinating work with Rush Road Home. And we were talking earlier with Jim Frazier, who is a Gold Star father. And Modi, you are also a Gold Star family member. Thank you for joining us today on Memorial Day.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And so tell us about Rush Road Home and the work that you do there.
Yes, thank you. Rush Road Home Program, of course, at Rush University Medical Center, is a mental health clinic for veterans and their family members. And we treat the invisible wounds of war, PTSD, TBI, military sexual trauma. And we're really trying to help our veterans and their family members transition back into family life. As you know, that can be somewhat challenging for them. And therefore, we opened up this clinic 5 years ago. And at this point, we are receiving national recognition for this program. Our real centerpiece is our IOP, the Intensive Outpatient Program, in which we fly veterans from all over the United States. And we, at no cost to the veteran, we pay for lodging, food, travel, and they stay with us for 3 weeks. And we do this very holistic approach with top clinicians, and we treat them for their PTSD. And we've seen magnificent results. And you know, we're very proud of the work we do. And as a Gold Star mother, this has helped me to help and honor my son, Connor, by helping his brothers and sisters, our veterans.
Modi, this is Brandon. You're one of my favorite people in this space, and so thankful that you could join us today. I know it's a really busy day for you, and I'm sure you have a lot on your mind, but thank you so much for all you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit more about Connor? And
oh, sure. I could talk about Connor all day long.
I'm sure.
But my beautiful boy enlisted in 2008 and to the Marine Corps. And honestly, folks, we don't come from a military family, so it was something quite foreign to me. But I can admittedly say I became a very proud Marine Corps mother. And he trained very hard to go over to Afghanistan, which he did in 2011. He was a tall, handsome, very athletic, very funny, very much known for boosting the morale in his unit while in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, you know, on March 1st, 2012, Connor died in Afghanistan. And, you know, it's quite a journey. Very traumatic to lose a child. It really splinters your life and you kind of lose focus on what you're going to do with your life. And it had a very, very intense effect on our family. And after about a year, you know, I decided I have to do something. And after seeing his unit come back from Afghanistan, I kind of realized I wasn't the only one grieving. So that's the work I do, and I do it for my boy. I mean, I also have a beautiful daughter, Grace, who lives in San Diego. And Grace and Connor were my everything and still are. You know, and I like to remind families, especially this weekend, just because Connor died doesn't mean he still doesn't live in my heart. And I appreciate you, Brandon, asking me about him because people don't know what to say. And I learned this from Jim Frazier. You know, if you want to say anything to a Gold Star, just ask him what was his name, what was her name,
tell me a little bit about him, because, like I said, they still live in our hearts.
Indeed, that was a very powerful moment earlier with Jim Frazier, with him sharing about his son as well. And I appreciate you remembering your son with mm-hmm. us for us today. I want to merge some calls. What I want to do. We also have Denise Williams on the phone here too. So I want to add her to this conversation. Denise, thanks so much for being with us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being with us today. You know, there's okay, now I got three co-hosts and two guests on the phone. There's a lot happening right now. But I really appreciate, you know, I think it's important to have all of these voices here in this conversation on this day. You know, Denise, same question. As we're talking about Gold Star families, you know, I would invite you to share a little bit today, too.
Well, interestingly enough, right now I am at Arlington National Cemetery, and I'm standing in Section 60, which is where the fallen from current conflicts have been interred, those that have been interred here at Arlington. This is where we are, and this is where the families come. I was at the, earlier we had the National Memorial laying at the Tomb of the Unknown. Vice President Pence spoke, and it was very moving. It was very, very peaceful, somber and serious, but it was very peaceful, and the whole experience here has been very uplifting, which might sound a little unusual, but there are thousands of people here all over the cemetery, thousands of people, and they're all here to pay respect. They're all here in recognition of what this day means.
Yeah, and you know, that's exactly what I was going to ask you next, Denise, is to kind of paint that picture for us. I imagine it's a very moving scene at Arlington today.
Very much so. It's not celebratory, not yet. That'll come later on today. But at this point, it's kind of like a family reunion. People see each other here on a regular basis, year after year. And even if it's the first time that they've seen you, you're instantly family. And it's just an incredibly warm and welcoming. Now, my son is not here. My son is back home there at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. And this is the first Memorial Day that I have not been there. But I will say that the experience is pretty much the same. And I'm guessing it's going to be the same at any national cemetery in the nation. On Memorial Day, everyone comes to honor. Everyone comes to show their appreciation for what they have and what they've been given by the sacrifice of our soldiers and our warriors.
Denise, if you would, could you share a bit about your son with us?
Certainly. I heard it said earlier, both Jim and Modi had said, you know, if you want to know what to say to us, ask us. We're parents. We love to brag on our children, just like anyone else. So my son, private first class Andrew Murray, was 21 years old on November 1st, 2010, when he was killed in action in Kandahar, Afghanistan. His unit was returning from a patrol. A vehicle-borne explosive device detonated in front of the unit. Andrew absorbed most of the impact, and the guys behind him coming up from the field were then sheltered or, you know, shielded some from the blast. There was another boy that was also killed on the other side of the vehicle, and two very seriously, grievously injured, though they did survive. Andrew he joined the Army just barely over 2 years previous, in October of 2008. And he'd been in Afghanistan at that point for about 7 months. This was his first deployment. And he was with the 101st, 1st 502nd out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And, you know, he was my only child. He was my whole world. And being 21 means he wasn't yet married. He didn't have children yet. So it's, and you know, the others I know have touched on this a little bit. When you lose a child, you lose you lose both the future and the past. Everything you dreamed for the future, for your child, what you thought life was going to be like with your adult child and their marriage and their spouse and children and all of that disappears as well. So it's a very different loss. And it stretches beyond anything that you imagine. And it's not something that we want you to imagine. And today, you know, like most days, I don't think about that. I think about who he was and the life that he lived and the practical joker and the kid with the irrepressible smile that was always riding the ragged edge of disaster in life, always with a smile, never with a malicious bone in his body or a thought in his head, and often not with a thought in his head at all. Incredibly smart. I mean, wicked smart is what his friends would say, and I'd stress wicked. but that's part of his personality, and it's part of our family personality that, you know, always a joke, always a laugh, always thinking about somebody else. He was the kid that had 15 best friends.
We're talking with Modi Lavin and Denise Williams, both Gold Star mothers, and I would ask this question to both of you, and this is something that came up a little bit earlier today when we were talking with Jim Frazier, about the role of community with Gold Star families. And what I wonder if you could both share a bit, and Modi, I'd start with you, a bit about the role of community support that's helped in your healing process.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, because I just came from our community Memorial Day parade, which is over 100 years old, and I had the opportunity to speak there, and I assured them that I wasn't able to get up and speak at these type of ceremonies without the support of community. And I reminded my community about our veterans coming home, in that most of us, especially today, have kind of lost their patriotism in some way. And that, the government's taking care of the veterans. I said, no, society needs to take care of our veterans. And that, just like my community uplifted and supported me, and still do, we still need to do that for our veterans. I'm very fortunate to come from a very loving community, and I encourage everybody to, as I just said, you know, reach down and find that patriotism again, and let's take care of these folks when they come home.
Denise, same question to you, and you're there today at Arlington National Cemetery. What is that, you know, and you touched on that scene and people there. What has the community role been for you in the healing process?
Well, there's a couple of definitions of community here, and I agree with Modi that it is the community that is needed to care for the veterans, absolutely. But we have another community as well, Modi and I are part of, blessed and fortunate to be a part of Gold Star families, and having those people to turn to, being able to walk into a room and not have to say a word, and everybody understands exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you're feeling. They've been where you are, or they will be in the future where you are again. And that's one of the definitions that come to mind when I think of community. The community that I am, nobody wants to be a member of the club that we've joined. Nobody wants to be a member in our community, but I am so grateful that it exists and that it's there. It was there for me when I needed, and, you know, I know that Modi does as well. We do what we can to be there for, unfortunately, the newer members that are finding themselves in need of this community home. I think that's, it's the same concept that is, if we expand it just a little bit, the community is the Gold Star families that exist within the larger community of the civilian world. And there's a community of veterans that exists within the larger community of the civilian world. And I think that it's
on the civilian world's shoulders and should be to support and recognize that they have these unique populations within their community, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel as if they are still part of the larger civilian world. You know, veterans come home and don't treat them as if they're different. They are different in that they have earned a respect and an honor that you haven't. So recognize that, but don't forget that they're still part of your community. And for us as Gold Stars, you know, we often get a bit ostracized because people don't know what to say to us, as if saying something is going to remind us that our child or our loved one is dead. Promise you, every moment, every heartbeat of the day, we don't forget. But when you say something, you're telling us you remember too. And that's a gift, and that's a thing of beauty. And that's something the community can do, and it's a message that, you know, I can't say it loud enough and often enough from the rooftops. Talk to us about our loved ones. Talk about our loved ones. Because part of that, part of what we lose when we lose a child, we lose someone in the military, is we lose future memories. But if you talk to me and you hear my son's stories, and now you go and talk to somebody else, hey, I met this woman and her son, Andrew Meary, he's from Plainfield, and he was killed in action in Afghanistan, and tell his story, you have made a new memory. And that is the most precious gift that you can give us, is new memories. And that's all part of what community can do for us.
Morty, Denise, I can't thank you enough for sharing your stories, talking about your sons and all you're doing in the community, both the broader community supporting veterans, but also the Gold Star community. You know, you mentioned, Denise and Modi, earlier that it's so important, and what you really want people to ask about your son. What other thing, you know, my goal is today, we not only have this conversation about Memorial Day, but we remember those have fallen, but also veterans 365 days a year. You know, Jim told us how informal the Gold Star community is, but those that want to support the Gold Star community, people in all different respects in terms of how much involved or not, depending on their phase of grief and where they are, how else can they support? Are there any nonprofits that can donate to other groups here in Illinois? Things like that. So obviously, besides the story, how else can we support as a community?
Modi, do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
You know, I have to mention the Road Home program again. It's because we support Gold Star families. We see family members too, and we do grief counseling. And there's one way to support. The Road Home program is a nonprofit. And other, you can support the American Gold Star Mothers. The American Gold Star Mothers, I'm going to let Denise talk on that because she is the president of our Illinois chapter here, and I'm the vice president, and we met through showing up for chapter meetings, and we do a lot of work in the community as well. And Brandon, as usual, it's just remembering and showing up today, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I know it's a big weekend for barbecues and, you know, bargains and stuff, but if you could just take a moment and remember that Memorial Day is every day for the Gold Star family. But Denise, you go ahead too.
And Denise, yeah, how would you answer it? And we're unfortunately running out of time, and we're going to have to let you go here in a moment, but how would you answer that?
Okay, two real quick ones. American Gold Star Mothers. The national webpage is goldstarmoms.org. There is a ability to donate there to, and you can designate for Illinois. Number two is Saturday, June 15th is the Illinois Freedom Run, which is to support and raise money for the Middle East Conflicts Memorial Wall out of Marseille, Illinois. It is the first such recognition for all of those who have died in Middle East conflicts since 1967. We forget in 67 in the Yom Kippur War, we lost three sailors. But every one of the fallen is on that memorial. Over 8,000 names support the Freedom Run. Come out to Marseille, see that wall, and most of all, find the name of a fallen soldier, or a Marine, or a sailor, or Air Force, or a Coastie. Find out something about them. Tell their story. That's the best that you can do for us. Tell their stories and remember. And Brandon, thank you so much for having us on.
No, thank you.
It's so important, and it's so appreciated.
Thank you in this busy day. Yeah. I very much appreciate it. We all do.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Is Mark Doyle still there?
Hi, dear. I'm here.
Seen you in a long time, Mark. Thank you for all that you do, Brandon, and WGN. Thank you for taking time out to remember Memorial Day the way you do. It really, really touched my heart.
Thank you so much. Modi Lavin and Denise Williams, both Gold Star mothers, thank you so much for being with us today. Really, really appreciate your time. All right, we need to take a break. We need to go to news. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. You are listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. Back in just a bit.
I was thinking this morning that across the country, children and their parents will be going to the town parade. And the young ones will sit on the sidewalks and wave their flags as the band goes by. Later, maybe they'll have a cookout or a day at the beach. And that's good, because today is a day to be with the family and to remember.
WGN Radio honors Memorial Day Stories now. Sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. With your hosts, Amy Guth and Mark Doyle.
720 WGN. You heard the man. It's Amy Guth and also Mark Doyle. But as I said earlier, I like to underpromise, overdeliver. So not only is Mark Doyle here from Rags of Honor, but also Kip Doyle and Brandon Marty from Veterans Roasters. This, I'm telling you, every time I look up, we got more co-hosts. We got a lot going on today. And a lot, we've heard so many moving stories today. I feel like everybody listening, I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot to process today. There's so much. You know, I've done a couple of call outs for callers, and we've had some beautiful people call to share memories of people they're thinking of today. And of course, if you'd like to do so, 312-981-7200. So important to do that. But I'm really touched by the variety of stories that we've heard today and the people in this space doing such interesting things. Let us talk with another. We're joined now by Eli Williamson, CEO and founder of Chicago based Leave No Veteran Behind. Eli, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello, thank you so very much for having me on. I appreciate this opportunity.
Certainly. Well, if you would, please tell us about Leave No Veteran Behind, your organization.
Sure. Leave No Veteran Behind was co-founded by myself and another veteran, Roy Sarton, to invest in veterans and build better communities. And we do that through two types of investments, education and employment. On one side, we have an educational scholarship. It's a retroactive scholarship, meaning there are a subset of veterans that have student loan debt. They've completed some form of higher education, served honorably, have an economic hardship, and aren't being covered by existing educational programs like the GI Bill or Student Loan Repayment Program. We take in dollars, apply those dollars directly to the veteran student loan account, and paying off their debt in full. We then require the veteran to give back 100 to 400 hours of community service. That's a national program. Locally, we run a pretty sizable transitional jobs program for veterans and their families, where we as a non-for-profit actually take on contracts, provide transitional work for veterans, pay wages, provide skills training, and then place those veterans in long-term employment. And the unique opportunity about our transitional jobs program is that these veterans are also doing community good, meaning the vast majority of the work that they're doing is reducing violence in schools, mentoring youth. So it's a very community-centered program.
Really fascinating work that you're doing there. I can't say I've heard of many programs that do the retroactive student loan debt. That's such an issue in so many political campaigns. That's such a big issue that so many people are talking about, that student loan debt crisis. And that's such an interesting aspect of your program. If you would, please share a bit about your background that you bring to this program.
Sure. I'm a native of Chicago. I served 10 years United States Army out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. My job in the military was psychological operations under United States Army Special Operations, and I was an Arabic linguist serving both in Iraq in 04 and Afghanistan in 07 with the Joint Special Operations Command. And while I was in the military, both myself and Roy, we saw some of these issues, specifically educational debt. And you said best, we're the only retroactive scholarship out there. And I'm not sure if that's a great thing, because, as you know, the college debt is so high. But both of us found out the hard way about how educational debt can impact you in uniform. And so we put our heads together, looked at the scholarship model, and said, look, most scholarships are based on potential. Why don't we have a scholarship that's based on performance, meaning for those individuals who've completed some form of higher education and have served honorably and aren't being serviced, why don't we look at that as an investment, right? This is an individual who's had success, and that's why we put together the retroactive scholarship model. You've seen someone blow a full ride to a school, but in this case, it's a really good investment in individuals, especially because they're required to give back.
That's great, Eli. And this is Brandon, by the way. And thanks so much for all you do. We could have a whole show on all the different programs and all you've done and given back to not only the Chicago community, but also nationally. On this day, who do you think about personally, or what are you thinking about?
You know, I've got a situation that was really tough for me personally. I've got a woman who is a friend of mine. She reached out to me about a woman, her son, and her son, you know, had died in uniform, and he was in Bahrain serving in the Navy. And so I went by this woman's house because she was so distraught. And many times when we think about individuals who lose their lives in uniform, it's usually in combat. And in this case, it wasn't in combat. As a matter of fact, she did not know how her son had died overseas. And there was an investigation still going on. But what really got me is she said, look, I just need somebody to be here. I know nothing about the military. They're an immigrant family. And she's this is all new to me. And I just need somebody to be here. And so when NCIS came to talk through and do the investigation, they sent some folks locally here to Chicago just to get an understanding of this young man's background. And I sat there, and they asked all these questions about his background because they're doing an investigation. And it really hit me how tough it is for these parents to sit here while their sons and daughters are overseas. And at any point in time, their lives can be taken under all types of conditions, and them not having a real good understanding of what that is and a level of trust that these mothers and fathers put in our government and our military. And to see that, you know, also, you know, my mother and my father, when I was overseas, were dealing with the same thing, right? I'm gone. I really, you know, because of my nature of my job, I couldn't talk a lot about it. And for them to know, and for me to know, and for me to see kind of the distress that these parents have to go through when they lose their son and their daughter, and may not get clarity on how, on who, what, when, where, and how, and the level of trust that they have to put into the military on what those last moments were. And that was tough for me. It was probably the toughest. You know, I'd been out of the military for about 8 years. And I've dealt with a lot of individuals being injured or losing their lives, but I think this one was the toughest. And finally, it was the toughest because, you know, unlike individuals who may lose their lives in combat, when you lose your life in, you know, training or what have you, non-combat related, you know, there's no gold star scenario for you, right? There's no they don't update the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs in the same way. And so this wasn't the first time that I had to deal with someone who lost their life in uniform in a non-combat related way. And to have their families just so, you know, disconnected from that process. So when we start talking about service, we start talking about sacrifice. A lot of times we think about you know, individuals just going into conflict, knowing that many of these jobs in the military are very dangerous. And even if people die from natural causes in the military, knowing that you can pass away from so far from home and from your family, and then your family not really understanding what all that looked like. So, you know, on this day, you know, I'm always sobered by the experiences, not just of the individuals who lost their lives, but their families who have to bear witness to that, and how easy it is for us to forget that, you know, you have families back here at home that that ultimately have to always live with that, you know, and always live with the fact that they may never truly understand what had happened, right? And so, I was very sobered. I was probably one of the toughest moments that I faced, you know, just being there and listening to perfectly good stranger's story about how they grew up and the pride they felt coming from Chicago and an immigrant family and how they were serving honorably, and then to lose their life and there be an investigation and there's still no closure after 2 years.
You know, I'm really struck today by how many nuances are in so many of these stories. And you've really just brought up a very special one. And that's, you know, the way families must imagine that stress on families of thinking of their loved ones serving overseas. And I think that's such an important one. So I wish we could keep you on for much longer. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. But how can people get involved in your organization, Leave No Veteran Behind?
Sure, absolutely. Right now, we just had a really great partnership with Modelo, and they've just sponsored five of our veteran student loans. We just recently just paid off five student loans with the Modelo Fighting Spirit campaign. Modelo went in and looked at our program and said, hey, this is a great way to invest in veterans. And so if you all can go to our website, leavenoveteranbehind.org. We're always looking for support, donations, and that's a big deal for our work to keep it going. The other thing is to make sure that we think outside the box when it comes to veterans and their families. Veterans are investments. They're not charity. And the more that you invest in this demographic, the more they can be catalytic in their communities.
Thank you so much. Eli Williamson, CEO and founder of Leave No Veteran Behind. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks, Eli.
Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a little break. Back here in just a bit. You're listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth here on Memorial Day. This has been the WGN Radio Honors Show. We've been really looking at the stories behind Memorial Day. And by we, I mean every time I look up, I got more co-hosts, and it's been really, really fun. Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor is here. We got all kind of people in here. Brandon Marty from Veteran Roasters. Kip Doyle. It's a party is what we're doing. It's a party in here. And of course, big thank you to esteemed producer Vivian Leneux, who's been keeping the train on the track today, calling all the people, screening all the calls, doing all the things, trying to get people on the, she's
plate spinning.
Plate spinning indeed. Big superstar back there. So, you know, as we wind down the clock and we just have minutes left of the program, you know, where are your heads from where we started at 9 o'clock? I would ask this of you guys.
I want to start,
Mark,
with just
you got it.
Three really quick things. As we think about this day and you listen to other radio stations and TV stations are going to run 1 minute and 45 seconds and 2 minute ads. Just think about the fact that this radio station, Todd Manley and Amy Guth, took 3 hours of like prime listening time dedicated to veterans. Nobody in this town, nobody has made a commitment to veterans in mass like WGN Radio has. And so for all the listeners, maybe you're going to listen to other radio stations. If you believe in what we did today and the commitment to veterans, don't go listen anywhere else. Second thing I want to say.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
It's true. Nobody makes a commitment like Todd and Steve Cochran and you. We were fortunate to have and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Walmart has made a real commitment to veterans as well through Rags of Honor. And they're putting us in 200 stores, on stores, shelves today, on hangers actually, 18 stores around Chicago, one on Toohey Avenue in Niles. I urge you, if you're near call a local Walmart, ask if the Rags of Honor t-shirts are on sale. You know our story. You know, the more we sell, the more veterans get out of shelters and back on their feet. So please go and buy as many t-shirts as you can. And the last thing I want to say is, and I talk about it all the time, is nobody can change the whole world, but all of us can change the world around us. And I mean this. And so I've challenged the listeners, not just today, but every day, try and do the next right thing. Try and make, you listen to the stories of people who gave their lives in service to this country. So do your part. You don't have to wear the uniform. Make a difference in your community and in your world today and every day. Because when you do that, everybody I know who lives in service of others lives a very peaceful and happy life. So find a way to give back in your own way every day.
That's such a good point. You know, someone I know often says Superman is just fiction, and really the way that the world is saved. We think of save the world as being save it, move it out of the way of a comet. But in right. fact, all of us have the ability to do something of just do our one thing, and then someone falls in line beside you That's and right. does their thing. And bit by bit, we help each other out, and we're kind of all in this stew together. Yep. So we gotta help each other out. And Brandon, I turn to you. You know, where are your thoughts today as we're wrapping up the show?
Well, number one, it's a thank you to you and Vivian for raising your hand and coming in here on your day off and helping us put this together. When we, Mark and I started talking about this a couple of months ago, and Todd's like, yeah, we're doing it. We were like, okay, we can make, I don't know how we're going to do it, but obviously with your on-air personality and structure and organization and Vivian as well, couldn't have done it without you. But I think more importantly, you heard a lot of from different people,
yeah.
Organizations, both nonprofits, corporations, and just people doing really good things to support the families of the fallen, as well as the veterans here in their community and those still struggling from what they had to deal with within their service and what they experienced. So, you know, there's so many ways to help. The number one thing is, as we talked off break, smile, ask someone their name, their experience. They'll love to share their experience that you empathize with that and wanted to learn more. But like Eli said, veterans are assets for our company, for our communities, and we need to hold those assets dear and take advantage of them. So I thank you and just honored to be here today.
Glad you're both here. And so in the just 2.5 minutes that we have left, where can people, we've talked a lot about other organizations, but where can people go to find out? I'll start with you, Mark. Find out more about Rags of Honor.
Ragsofhonor.us. You could purchase our t-shirts online. You can see the videos. We have ragsofhonor.org, which is our nonprofit that supports all the veteran organizations, and you can donate there as well.
Excellent. And you've got your deal coming with Walmart. You've got all the things happening.
Yep. The more t-shirts we sell, remember, the more veterans get hired. So find a Walmart.
There you go. Not hard to do that.
Not hard to do, not nowadays.
That's easy enough to do. And Brandon and Kip, I turn to you. Tell us a bit about Veteran Roasters and where people can find more.
VeteranRoasters.com. Buy a bag for yourself at home. Companies, organizations, hospitality, restaurants. If we focus on wholesale. So reach out to us at info or orders at veteranroasters.com, and we'd happy to make Veteran Roasters be your coffee of choice with your coffee program.
Look, you guys handed me a cup of that right before we went on the air, and if you've noticed that I've been talking very fast, very animatedly, I swear there's extra caffeine in it. Kip, anything that you would add in the minute left?
I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity, and our latest sort of effort is the same mission to hire at-risk veterans, homeless and at-risk veterans, and we started R&R Brews, which is our beer, and we are featured in Binnie's and Jewel, and we've got Joe Madden's Try Not to Suck beer. So it's a nice German lager. It's perfect for a day like today.
Try Not to Suck beer.
So anyway, it's just another opportunity to sort of bookend your day with a cup of coffee and raise a cheer, you know, to the veterans and help veterans with every cup in every mug and every glass you
start the day with one and the day with the other. Whichever you choose is your business, but you start and end them however you want to do that.
Or both,
indeed. All right. Well, thank you, everybody who listened today, and especially thank you to all of our callers and all of our people that are doing really interesting things in this space. You've been listening to WGN Radio Honors, a conversation dedicated to the stories that uncover the meaning of Memorial Day, sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Big thanks to Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor and to Brandon Marty and Kip Doyle from Veteran Roasters, and Kip Doyle for apparently being Superwoman. Also that. So thank you all. We're going to take a break, get you to news back in just a bit on 720 WGN.